I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 14. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. Let's ask our Lord's blessing. Our Father, again, we thank you for this time to be able to assemble in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we ask your blessing upon the word this evening, upon our hearing. For Christ's sake, we ask these things. Amen. Hosea chapter 14, I'd like to look at the 9 verses of this chapter. The scripture begins in a very amazingly tender and merciful way. And the scripture begins and it says, O Israel. Do you know the first time that name Israel was used? It was when Jacob, very familiar passage of scripture, was wrestling with the man, the Lord himself, the man. And the scripture says that the Lord himself told Jacob, "Let me go." And Jacob said, "Not unless you bless me." And he asked him his name. "What's your name?" He said, "My name is Jacob." And he said, "Your name will now be called Israel." Israel. I looked up again to find out just exactly what Israel means. We always relate that it means a prince with God, but the name means God prevails with God as a prince, is what Israel means. Oh, Israel, return unto the Lord thy God. Israel, now this is spiritual Israel, not the national people, regardless of who they are, but God's Israel hears these words, "Return unto the Lord." Now listen to this. Thy God. He's always been spiritual Israel's God. Return unto the Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R. Return unto Jehovah, Father, Son, and Spirit. Now we returned the first time in regenerating grace. But there is a continual returning, a continual coming. He that cometh unto me. When you hear someone speak of, "Well, I came to the Lord when I was 17 years old." That's just a little bit too far back. God's people come. You that know him, you're coming right now. You come to the Lord. He exhorts his people. Return. It's not a request. Return. Why would he say that? Well, he tells us, "For thou hast fallen by thine iniquity." You think of the mercy of Almighty God, that God by his Holy Spirit, through the preaching of the gospel, would exhort his people to return unto me. Now, God Almighty is going to say one of two things to a man or a woman. One of two. It's either going to be, "Return unto me, come unto me, all ye that labor, heavy laden, I'll give you rest." Or he's going to say this, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Return unto the Lord, your God, thy God, God Almighty, electing God, redeeming God, regenerating God. Return unto me, because thou hast fallen. You've stumbled. You've been overthrown. Thou hast fallen in thine iniquity. Now, we fell in Adam. There's no doubt about it. We fell in Adam, and we all, because of Adam's fall, we came forth from Adam's loins, and so we're descendants of Adam and Adam's transgression. But do you know what our problem is? Our iniquity. Thou hast fallen because of thine iniquity. And when we return, here's the marvel of God's command and exhortation to come. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Now when we come to the Lord. Now again, not talking about when we came in regenerating grace, how thankful we are that there was a day in which the Lord opened our eyes and gave us light and commanded the light of the glory of God in the face, in the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we come now. How do we come? Think about it. Come unto me. How do we come? Now listen to the marvel of God's mercy to us. Verse 2. Take with you words. Now when you come, take some words with you and turn or return to the Lord and say unto him, take the words that he has put in your heart, not words that are repeated or mimicked or something. Somebody talk about a sinner's prayer or something like that. The Lord gives us the words of the heart, and with power of God's Spirit, he gives us that word to say heartily. Here's what we're to say. Take away all iniquity. Now this is how we come. This is how we come now. This is how we come afresh. Take away all iniquity. All of my guilt contracted by sinning. Take away my depraved actions. Take these away. Now, has the Lord said that he was going to show mercy to his people? He told Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'm going to have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. But listen to what he says. Again, we've looked at this before. Ezekiel 36, 37. I will yet do this, but I will be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. We're going to ask him when we pray. Do we not ask? Lord, forgive me. Lord, have mercy upon me. Why? Because we're guilty. Against thee and thee only have we sinned, and we know it. We know that. We realize that. We know that we are what we are by the grace of God. We're sinners, saved by grace. Lord, wash me afresh. Lord, my feet need to be washed as you washed the feet. You told your disciples, Lord, you said that they were clean, but that the feet needed to be washed. Our daily walk before God Almighty, we contract just with the indwelling sin. We're sinners. If we say we have no sin, we make him a liar. What do? He said, you return unto me and you take with you words. You turn to the Lord and you say unto him, take away All iniquity. All of it. Lord, forgive me if we confess 1 John 1:9 our sins. And when we confess our sins, let me say this, we will never know the depth of what we've done. If you want to go ahead and start trying to name all the sins that you've committed, you'll never get there. So, you know. But if we confess what we are, we're sinners. If we confess that we are sinners, He's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All of it. The sins, the shortcomings, sins of commission, omission that I don't even know. What should I have done that I didn't do? That's wrong. I didn't know what I was. Ignorance is no excuse. I was driving the other day, and I came to an intersection, and it was an intersection, and there was no stop sign. No stop sign. Until I got right there on the road, and there was a sign right there covered by limbs and branches. Now let me ask you something. Would I have been without guilt? No. The sign was there. I could plead, it was hidden, it was this, that, and the other, and I still ran a stop sign. I was ignorant. Ignorant of where it was. If we confess our sins, He's faithful, just to forgive us of all of our unrighteousness. So when you return, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, take with you words. Turn to the Lord, say unto Him, take away all iniquity. And here's what else you say. Receive us graciously. Lord, receive us not on our merit. Lord, don't receive me on my works of self-righteousness, because I know I don't have any. I know that I have nothing to plead before You that's going to be accepted by You. But Lord, for Christ's sake. Lord, for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved me and gave Himself for me and bore my guilt and put it away and cast it as far as the east is from the west. Lord, You who said, I will remember their sins no more. Lord, You said that. And Lord, I'm coming and I'm asking You this. Lord, cleanse me. Take away my iniquity and receive me graciously. Lord, this is the only way You could receive me, is by grace, because I have nothing. I have nothing. And Lord, asking You to take away all iniquity and receiving us graciously, so will we render the calves of our lips. We'll thank You. Now, let me just stop right here and just say this for a moment before I continue. We don't know how to be thankful. When we confess our sins and we confess what we are, we have never been honest about it. We've never confessed our sins honestly. There's still enough pride in us. We'll, like me, trying to excuse that stop sign that was hidden. It wasn't my fault. I was a victim of circumstance. The only ones that have been honest is the Lord. Psalm chapter 40, when it says, mine iniquities are more than the hairs, when He bore the guilt of His people, He's the only one that's ever been honest about sin. We've never been honest about it. Lord, I'm asking You, forgive my iniquity. Take away my iniquity. Receive me graciously. And I will thank you. Look, hold your place right there. Turn to Psalm 116. Psalm 116, verse 12 and 13. Psalm 116, verse 12 and 13. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Now you just stop. What shall I render? What shall I give? What shall I bestow unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? And then the Spirit of God through David answers it. Here's what I'll render unto the Lord. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. What shall I render unto the Lord? Nothing. I will receive by faith that which he's done for me. That's what I'll render unto the Lord. What am I going to give to him? What can I give to him? My thanks, which God's people are thankful. But our thanks are so filled with sin and ingratitude. What shall I render? I will receive from his hand the cup of salvation and deliverance. And Lord, as I admit so many times, I don't thank you as I should, as I want to, as by the grace of God I shall. But Lord, I do thank you. I do thank and praise you. Hebrews 13:5 says, By him, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. How am I going to praise the Lord? Here's the way I'll praise the Lord. By him. By my high priest. By the one who offers unto the Father, ever living to make intercession for me. As I've said before, the Spirit of God who helpeth us, helpeth our infirmities, because we don't know what to pray for. But as we ask, Lord, in the blessed incense of your merit, as my high priest, would you thank the Lord for me? Lord Jesus, will you thank the Father on my behalf? Will you thank him for me? Will you tell him that I don't know how to thank him? Lord, you do. You ever live to make intercession. Would you do that for me, Lord? Would you? By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And with the sacrifices of praise that we give unto the Lord because of a new heart comes an admittance of something that we know is so. There's no other help but the Lord. There's no other. Look at verse 3. Asher was a king of Assyria. But Asher is also a picture of here of all those things, those symbolic things that men trust in except the Lord. Asher shall not save us. We know that we can put no trust in man. We can't put trust in ourselves and no other man. We're all cut out of the same lump. Listen to Jeremiah 17:5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. I read that the other day, and I thought about this. All free will, works-oriented, whenever someone does something that they think merited or acquired, or whatever you want to say, salvation. I gave my heart to the Lord. I walked the aisle. I read through or prayed through or whatever you did, and put some stock in it. As Paul Saul of Tarsus, when he was a Pharisee, circumcised the eighth day, you know, Hebrew of the Hebrews, tribe of Benjamin, on and on and on and on and on. Now listen to this. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man and that maketh flesh his arm. You tell somebody, you put your trust in yourself or your free will, your works, your church attendance, your Bible study, your whatever, you put any stock in that before God, you're under the curse of God. Cursed is a man, you know. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses. We won't ride on horses. That's symbolic of we won't look to our own strength or to the strength of others. Listen to Isaiah 31:1. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. Stay on horses. Trust in chariots because they're many. I mean, surely the whole world can't be wrong that doesn't believe this gospel. Surely not everybody in this world. Surely there's got to be more than this community than just a handful here. Surely, right? I mean, there's a bunch of places Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help, for strength, or even referring to these horses. It's symbolic of trying to think that you can get away from God. Escape Him. Listen to this. Isaiah 30:15-16. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning to Him and resting in Christ, in His work, in returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence in the Lord shall be your strength. But you would not. You said, no, for we will flee upon horses. We will ride upon the swift. Then the Lord said, therefore shall they, and that is any instrument of God's providence for correction. You think you're going to get away? They that pursue you will be swift. Scripture says, when Almighty God speaks to His Israel and says, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, you've fallen, you stumbled. And we do every day, all the time. Take with you words, return to the Lord, say unto Him, take away all iniquity, receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands. You are our God. Gods. For in thee the fatherless find mercy. We're not going to say anymore, we've done what we've done to our own advantage. We don't trust anymore in our gods, in our merit, in our ability. And the reason that a believer finds no comfort, doesn't look anymore to his flesh, to his will. Why? He's taught of God. He's taught of the Lord. For in thee, the fatherless. Now, who are the fatherless? I'll tell you this. Those that cannot help themselves. They have no one to provide for them. That's what he's talking about. The fatherless findeth mercy. In the Messiah alone, he who humbled himself, mediator between God and men, in Him alone do we find mercy for those who are commanded to return. Returning unto God, how could God have mercy unless He be pleased to show mercy? He's a just God. Mercy's never shown at the expense of God's justice, but in Him, in our husband, in our friend and redeemer and savior, our priest, God does show mercy. Verse 4. Now this one verse right here, I'm telling you, you could take verse 4 and this would be a message right here. Here is the whole, to me, the whole gospel, the whole scope of the everlasting covenant of grace is verse 4. Here it is. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. Buddy, you talk about a passage of scripture that'll preach. That would be it right there. That I will heal as the great physician. I will heal. How did he heal us? Well, the scripture says by his stripes. By him bearing on the cross the justice, the bearing all the guilt. I mean becoming us. That's us. Paul said, I was crucified. Being made sin. He healed us spiritually by his stripe. How does he heal us right now? Same way. By his stripes. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. How many times does God need to look upon the blood for me? Always. Always. When I will heal there. Now look how specific this is. Who's he talking to? He's talking to Israel. Spiritual Israel. I will heal their backsliding, their turning back, their stumblings, their fallings. How many times a day, how many times have we fallen right now tonight? How many times? There is no telling. There's no way of knowing. Thanks be unto him, though, he forgives us for all our sins, forgives all our unrighteousness. I will heal their backsliding, bearing their guilt, regenerating them, robing them in righteousness. I'll heal them. I'll heal them. I will love them freely without any merit on their part. No merit. What can we render unto the Lord? You think thanksgiving would do it? You think being thankful would do it? Would justice be satisfied? No, I'll take the cup of salvation. That's what I'll render unto the Lord. Thankfully, and asking him to tell the Lord, thanks for me. That's the only way he could love us. And the reason that the just God loves us freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. My anger is turned away from Israel. In wrath and justice, the Father spoke and smote the shepherd. Awake, O sword, the sword of my justice, the sword of my vengeance, the sword of my wrath. He was made sin. And as I've said before, where sin was found, the law demands justice. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. That's Zechariah 13:7. Now let me explain that last part right there. Smite the shepherd, my fellow, and the sheep will be scattered, which they all were. But he said, I will turn mine hand upon them. Here's what he's saying. Because the shepherd was smitten for his people. Because God's justice was satisfied in the Redeemer. And God's sheep were scattered. They shall then find the hand of the satisfied Jehovah turned toward them for mercy. He's not turning against them. He smote the shepherd on their behalf. Now he's not going to smite them too. He was wounded for our transgressions. By his stripes, as I said, we're healed. But he turned his hand toward us in mercy. And all that the blood purchased for us, our redemption, our pardon, our forgiveness, it's ours in Christ. And then the Lord says, after said, I'll heal their backsliding, love them freely, mine anger turned away. Then he says in verse 5, I will be as the dew unto Israel. I will be as the living water, the water of heaven. Hosea 13, verse 9, I'll tell you what Israel had done for herself. Look at Hosea 13, 9. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. This is what we did. This is what God's people did. Thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. What's he going to do? He said, I'm going to draw you back to me. I'm going to give you the words to say to me. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to love you freely. I've always loved you. And this is what I'm going to do for you. I will be as the dew unto Israel. Now there's going to be about four or five things he's getting ready to say that he's going to do for us. These scriptures right here set forth the mercy of God in the growing up of God's people in Christ. He says, I will be as the dew unto Israel, and here's what's going to happen. He shall grow as the lily. He'll grow, he'll blossom as the lily. I got to thinking, how does the lily? I know Song of Solomon refers to the church as the lily, as the lily among thorns. So is my beloved among the daughters of Jerusalem. I know we're in a world that is cursed, and here's God's people in the midst. And he's going to be the dew. He's the dew of heaven unto Israel. He's going to water. He's going to, refresh and stuff. What are we going to do? Well, we're going to grow as the lily. Hold your place right there. Turn over to Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6. They're going to grow as the lily. How does the lily? Matthew 6, 27 to 29. How does the lily grow? Here's how a believer grows. Matthew 6, 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. Now hold on, I'm going to read the rest of it right here. I will be as the dew unto Israel, and he shall grow as the lily. How does the lily grow? They toil not, neither do they spin. They don't work out their own salvation. They're not out there working, trying to merit some righteousness before God. And yet I say unto you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is tomorrow's cast, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? How do the lilies grow? They grow waiting on the Lord, resting in Christ, robed in his righteousness, made beautiful by his beauty being put upon them. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily. And secondly, he'll cast forth his roots as Lebanon. How's he going to grow? Well, the lily, the bride, tender, frail, waiting, not spinning, not toiling, waiting on the Lord, resting in him, weak, easily plucked up, but being found in Christ, The scripture declares that Israel is going to cast forth its roots as Lebanon, as the cedars of Lebanon. These trees, they're going to be grounded and firm in the rock himself, waiting on the Lord, but found in him upon the rock of Christ, rooted like a big tree. Psalm 92:12 says, "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, that majestic, green, beautiful, and grow up like a cedar, stable, in Christ only, kept by the power of God through faith." Look at verse 6. How are they going to grow? I'll be the dew. They'll grow as the lily. They'll grow casting forth his roots as Lebanon. Verse 6, he's still talking about he'll grow. His branches shall spread. His branches, it's referring to us. As the branch is grafted into the vine. Except the branch be in the vine. You can't do without me, you can do nothing. The branches of the Lord's church are those grafted into Christ himself, and they spread. That word spread right there, his branches shall spread. The word is come. They'll come. They'll walk. Walk after the Lord, being brought to him by faith, resting in him. And his beauty shall be as the olive tree. The olive tree is a little gnarly, contorted, just old tree, feeble and weak branches, but it is fruitful. It's loaded with olives. How are they going to grow? They're going to be not toiling for themselves. They're going to be robed in my righteousness, but grounded in Christ. And they're going to come. The branches shall spread. His beauty shall be as the olive tree. And I'll tell you how he's going to grow. His smell is going to be like Lebanon or the cedars. I don't know about you, but I love the smell of a cedar. I used to go in places, and if we'd be stopping somewhere and they had souvenirs, I'd love to just go over there and take the top off of a, I don't know what it is. It was cedar or something, but I love the smell. And this Lebanon, that's what he's talking about, the cedars. Not only for the strength, but for their fragrance. The cedars of Lebanon, just the fragrance of those trees was unbelievably becoming and wonderful, but it reminded me when it talked about the smell. It reminded me when Jacob came before Isaac. You remember Jacob was going to stand before, and Isaac was going to bless Esau. Remember that? And Jacob came and he stood robed in Esau's garment, and Isaac asked him, he said, are you Esau? And he said, yeah, I'm Esau. And he said, your voice sounds like Jacob. He said, come near to me. He came and he smelled that garment. And he said, you sound like Jacob, but oh, you smell like Esau. Whenever a believer is growing, how are they going to grow? Robed in the righteousness of Christ, in his robe. The Father who smells the faithfulness and the obedience, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We may have our sound like us, but we smell like him. Growing in him, resting in him. The smell of God's Israel, God's people, robed in his faithfulness. Listen to this. Song of Solomon 4:11. Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue, and the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. You smell like my son. And I love the way he smells. Verse 7, they that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall return. They shall revive as the corn. Remember, he's the dew of heaven. And here's how they're going to grow. They're going to grow whenever the corn that's planted here, when it's talking about reviving, it's when the moisture of the rain falls upon that corn, that kernel that's in that ground right there. When that moisture comes and it revives that corn, it springs forth. That's what it's talking about. They shall revive. Actually, the word is vivify. I don't know. Maybe some of you scholars have heard of that word before. Vivify. I guess it comes from vivacious. I don't know. But it means to come forth with life. Vivify. I've never heard that word before. That was a new one for me. But that's what it is. Scripture declares they shall revive. That's it. It was revive as the corn, like that corn planted. No outward appearance at first of life. Just a dry and hard. And how can this? But that it comes forth. How are they going to grow? They'll revive as the corn. And they'll grow as the vine. You watch a vine. A vine. How does it grow? Clinging. Clinging to a tree. I've seen people plant vines on the side of their houses and it kind of grabs the bricks and it just that vine, weak in itself, constantly in need of support. And God's Israel, how do they grow? They grow clinging to Christ as Jacob, we talked about a while ago, did cling unto the Lord in the night of his struggle and his wrestling. They'll grow as the vine, and the scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. John Gill made this. The wine of Lebanon. He said the wine of Lebanon, the wine from the vines of Mount Lebanon, he said, was, maybe still is, I don't know, the most celebrated and exceeding of all other wines in its taste, in its aroma, and its medicinal properties. He said, this is how they're going to grow. The scent, the medicinal properties found in that relationship to the Lord, I'll heal them. I'll take away all of their guilt. They'll be as the wine of Lebanon. And then, verse 8, Ephraim, restored Ephraim, brought back Ephraim, Israel himself, shall say, what have I to do anymore with idols? That's the speech, that's the heart of a believer. What have I to do anymore with the works of my hands? What comfort can I find? I've told you this before. I remember years ago coming up under false religion. And it would bother me because I'd get feeling guilty about what I was doing, which was real often. So I try to start thinking back, when I walked down the aisle and when I gave my heart to Jesus and when I prayed the sinner's prayer, and I couldn't remember, David, if I was sincere enough. I just don't remember. But I'm going to do it now. This time, I'm going to do it. I mean, I'm going to get sincere this time, and I'm going to just do as much as I can. And I put great stock in how sincere can I be. And I wasn't sincere for nothing. I was just lying to myself. This is just going to appease my conscience for a moment until the next time. That's all. What does a believer say? What have I to do anymore with the creations of my mind, with these idols? These idols of unbelief, the idols of the rejection of the Master, the rejection of the Messiah. What have I to do? What have I to do anymore with that? That's what Israel says. And the next words is the Lord who heard what Israel said. These next words are the words of the Lord. I have heard him. I've heard repenting and confessing his guilt, coming to me and saying, take away all my iniquity. Receive me graciously. I heard that. That's where he started. That's where we started this chapter. Return unto me. Take these words and say these. And the believer says, what have I anymore with idols? The Lord said, I heard that. I heard. Asking for pardon. Almighty power of God's Spirit. I have heard that. And the Lord observed that. Saw it with an eye of pity and mercy and compassion. And then it seems as though the next phrase is the words of Ephraim or Israel. Again speaking the recovered vessels of God's mercy. Speaking again concerning the Lord's compassion in Christ, and said, I am like a green fir tree in him. I am evergreen in him. My life is his life in me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. If I've got any hope, it's the life of Christ. It's not mine. It's not my ability to make good on these idols. I can tell you that. I'm like an evergreen. I'm a green fir tree. And then the Lord speaks again. The last part. From me is thy fruit found. In me is thy fruit. The scriptures set forth the believer. He's like a garden. How beautiful. The Lord, the Spirit of God moved upon Hosea to write these words and speak to us as like the lilies and the cedars and Lebanon, the wine of Lebanon. Years ago, my dad loved to garden. We had big gardens, and he would. People would come over. I can remember my, family coming over from Mississippi and stuff like that. And I can remember when they'd come over and the garden would be in, And I never did. I'll be honest with you. I never did care too much about gardening because we had big gardens, didn't we, Mom? We had like a 10-acre garden, and. But we had he'd have little gardens over here where he'd piddle around and stuff. And people would come. He'd say, come see my garden. Come out here, let me show you my garden. And I was thinking to myself, who in the world wants to go see a garden? Who wants to see a garden? And they'd go out there and they'd look. And he said, man, they'd talk. Yeah, Gerald, man, I'm telling you, man, those beans look good. Man, that, I tell you what, boy, you got a fine stand of okra there. My. But you know what? That garden was a reflection on my dad. That garden, by his toil and his labor of going out there, and he'd water, and I can remember he'd go out there and he'd take a water hose and he'd stick a water hose at the end of the row, and he'd just let the water, and of course I'd just watch the water, just going down the middle of the row, and he'd move it over. He cared for it. Listen, I'm going to heal them. I'm going to love them. I'm going to be the dew. They'll grow as the lily. Here's the master gardener himself, making us what we are by grace. And the result of that is his garden is going to say this: I'm not going to trust in my idols anymore. I'm going to look to you. And the Lord said, I heard that. From me is your fruit. And then in last, she says, and the Lord says, verse 9, who's wise? Who is wise? Who is wise except those made wise in Christ that he should understand these things? And he that understands these things, how about who's prudent? Who's prudent that he should know them? Who's gifted with understanding that he might know these things except those made so by the grace of God? Because, or for, the ways of the Lord are right, they're just. And the just, the justified, shall walk. They'll walk continually. They're kept in them. But the transgressors, those who apostatize, those who leave, shall fall therein. Return unto me, O Israel. Return unto the Lord thy God. And when you come, you take these words with you. Lord, forgive us for all our iniquity and receive us graciously. And he said, I'm going to grow you. I'm going to grow you. He that hath begun a good work shall continue it, shall finish it till the day of salvation. May the Lord bless these words to our heart for Christ's sake.